We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne Tha God.
Congratulate you, Hall of Famers. So honored to be in the presence radio royalty.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
This is a big deal. Big deal.
I think that y'all have a certain amount of respect for, you know, what everybody else does, and y'all are just the best at what y'all do.
We love y'all, man. Thank you for being the people's champs.
Probably the greatest.
I'll drill y'all.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Is this Javonte?
Is what,
hey,
sir?
It's Javonte.
Oh, Javonte. What's up, King? How are you?
I'm good, King. I'm really excited. I made it to the rail. This is my first time ever thinking the club. I love all of y'all so much. DJ Envy, especially you. I got my real estate license. I just moved to Georgia, and I just want to give myself a shout out for that. And just, of course, let everybody know I'm out here doing real estate.
Congratulations, King.
I told myself I'm going to take the real estate license myself, because you took the class online, right?
Well, I was licensed already in Vegas. I took the test out in Las Vegas, and then I moved here and just applied for a different type of application. So I didn't really have to take the test in Georgia. It was already done back in Las Vegas.
That's good. You know, I'm taking the classes right now.
That's what's up. It's a pretty hard.
I'm getting my license.
Yeah, I recommend that to everybody, especially while you're home during the pandemic. You could take the class online. You don't have to go anywhere. You could just, you know, watch it on classes that they offer. And Groupon offers a lot of cheap classes, just to give everybody the heads up.
Yeah, it's a pretty hard test. If you really think about doing it, I just say to everybody, study really hard, because the test is no joke.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you still have to take the test in person, but you could take the classes. It's like 62 hours of classes. Online.
Well, congratulations, good luck, brother. King.
Sell some houses.
All right.
Wish you much success.
I'll give a shout out about my Instagram so everybody can go follow me on there and support me as a business.
What is it?
It's going to be Javonte_real_estate_guy.
All right. And if you get any great deals, hit me on my Instagram, brother. DM me.
He's like, I'll keep him.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.
If you get any great D, hit Envy on his Instagram.
I said deals, man. You're kinky. Hello, who's this?
This is Antoine.
Antoine, get it off your chest, bro.
I feel like on the radio, I know I'm a fish y'all off, but we have more of a responsibility to talk about common sense when we get pulled over by police. In America, we don't have rights to black people. So I don't like hearing them talking about our amendments and stuff, or our God-given rights. If the cop tell you get off the car, get off the car. A lot of times I see a lot of hostility coming from the person being pulled over. And I feel like we dying, so why don't you just get out the car? Why don't you just shut up? Why don't you just provide the information given? Because they're undefeated.
A lot of times people do follow instructions, and it still goes left.
I haven't seen that, Angela. I haven't seen that, if I'm honest.
Philando Castile was following instructions.
He was like, I have a registered gun.
Hold on. A lot of times there's hostility coming from those people.
He wasn't hostile.
Every time I'm looking, I can always see where we went wrong. Damn the cops. They ain't. They gonna do what they do. They gonna kill.
So my thing is just comply.
What?
Yes, you put your hand behind your back, you got to do it.
I mean, my brother.
I don't see nothing where we be right.
My brother, I respect you.
Already upset.
Hey, my brother, I respect your opinion, but I mean, when you look at people like Elijah McClain, 23 years old, you know, and you look at people like Philando Castile, that kind of proves you wrong. But I'm upset that, you know, you've gotten to the point in your life where you're so defeated that you don't even feel like the Constitution or the laws of the land apply to you.
Somebody who gets pulled over a lot.
I agree with that.
Nah, but somebody get pulled over a lot, man. You have the right to ask, why are you pulling me over?
Yes.
You just ain't got to buckle down and be like, okay, you pull me over, I'm going to get out the car, put my hand. No, why are you pulling me over? I did nothing wrong. My registration is right. My insurance is right. My license is not.
But hear me out. When they pull us over, right, we go through all of that, and then we're the ones that end up dead. Let the people who's fighting the fight. My brother, don't let these white supremacists beat you down
so much that you don't even feel like you a citizen in this country.
It's not that I'm letting them beat me down.
Yes,
it's
you are.
I have to get home to my daughter. I get
what you're saying. I want to get home to my family too. But what's right is right, and I'm not gonna just lay down on my knees while you just beat me over the head. No, I want to know, why are you pulling me over? I'm pulling you over because I seen the air freshener in your window. No, tell me why the you pulling me over.
And by the way, King.
Pulling you over because you're black.
Exactly, but listen, King, your way has not been proven correct.
It's not against the law.
Your way has not been proven correct. We've seen black people get killed every which way you try to handle it, whether you comply, don't comply, walking away, in handcuffs, on the ground. So your way has not been proven right, sir.
But don't get it twisted. I will say this. If my son gets pulled over, I tell him to shut the F up and just comply. I do tell my son that because I want my son to go away. No, but I do tell my son that because I'm scared for my son. And my dad told me the same thing.
But I'm with you. But that don't mean that cop still may not violate your son. That's just the truth of the matter.
You can follow all the instructions.
You can still get killed.
You don't take care of that at the traffic stop. You can't fight
those cases.
You dead.
You really think
you're right?
You just said we don't have no rights, but you think we win in court? Okay, brother. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
No, but I understand what he's saying because my dad used to tell me that all the time. My dad would just be like, "Yo, shut the F up and make it home. You can't win on the street with that police officer, but at least when you make it home, you have an opportunity to win in court." My dad used to say the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not telling him to curse cops out and fight cops. All I'm simply saying is you do have rights as a black person in this country.
You do. But as somebody that gets pulled over all the time, no, I want to know, why are you pulling me over? I'm not just going to assume. No, why? Tell me why. And then when you get an attitude, I get an attitude.
You know, but you know why you ask those questions? Because you know that you have rights. The Constitution is supposed to work for all of us.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, Participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Yo, hello, Chris. Who's this?
Yo, this is Chris.
What up, Chris?
Get it off your chest.
Man, y'all was talking about how jobs killing people, man. I wanted to talk about it.
You dying?
I feel like it, Charlie, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
Where you work at?
I work at a factory, man. 25 years old, working at a factory. Like a food plant.
I worked at one of those back in the day. I worked at a place called Industrial Acoustics Company. I worked there for 2 weeks, and I got fired by a woman named Gail Cobb. She was my supervisor. Gail Cobb said that I did not fit in to whatever the hell they was trying to do at Industrial Acoustics Company.
I mean, you gotta do, man, like working more than 40 hours a week, like not liking what you do, like, is hell.
Yeah, but you know what I tell y'all? I tell people, man, I'm about to say kid, but you're not kid. You're a grown man. You're a younger king. You're a younger king. But it's 168 hours in a week, bro. That's more than enough time to do something that you may not like, right? 40 hours at the job. But then you got a 128 other hours to do everything else you want to do. You can Correct. Pursue your dreams. You can sleep. You can work out, whatever it is. It's a lot of time, bro.
Listen, Shark. That's why I got up so early. I'm from Illinois, so you know y'all are an hour ahead over there. So that's why I got up early. Like, I'm going to call Breakfast Club, try to plug at least my ID, some music or something on here.
Okay. You rap? Mm. Go ahead, plug it.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Spit of 16, matter of fact. You got the world listening. Go ahead, brother.
The 16.
Either plug or spit, bro. Oh, one of the two.
Instagram, Cash Out Chris, CASHOUPT, Chris. YouTube, Cash Out, Chris, everything the same handle, man. I'm selling merch, got clothes. I got a little following. I ain't going to say I'm Drake on there or nothing, but you know, I got a little following.
You don't have to say that, sir.
We know
you
that.
Listen, top curtain to Chris, you don't have to tell us you're not Drake. We know.
Drake is on up here. Because I know you don't like Drake.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It has the fact
we know
that
you're not Jay-Z.
We know you're not Drake.
We know you're not Bow Wow, brother.
Okay, what are you talking about?
More like Shad Moss, baby.
Now, y'all going to stop disrespecting Shad Moss.
Goodbye, man. Hang up on that, man.
I'm so sick of the Bow Wow slander. Y'all going to stop slandering Bow Wow like Bow Wow didn't give us Fresh As I'm Is.
Did he write it?
It don't matter. He performed it and delivered it. Okay, you don't ask no questions about Drake, so don't ask him about Bow Wow.
Ooh, touche. 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 Hello, who's this?
This is Shug from Alabama. Good morning.
Alabama, what's up?
Good morning.
Get it off your chest.
I'm tired of working. I'm tired of capitalism. I'm tired of paying bills. I'm just tired.
You and me both. You know, when we were kids, we didn't have to worry about none of that. We wanted to be adults so bad when we were kids. Now that I'm an adult, I want to be a kid again, bro.
Man, I just wanted to drink and smoke when I grew up. I ain't know how these bills come with it.
Yeah, listen, you got to pay for that drink and smoke.
I know, man. You know how much Hennessy is down here?
Now, let me ask you this. Are you getting ready for retirement at all, though? Are you saving? Do you have a plan?
Sounds not.
So that you know in a X amount of years... I'm just wondering because that's something I think about all the time. Okay.
I got a 401k going, but I've been trying to do the crypto thing, but I just been letting the dice roll on it. So
yeah, me too. I haven't figured it out. I just been letting the dice. I've been doing pretty good letting the dice roll a little bit, but you just never know with that, man. But leave the Hennessy alone, brother.
Right. Appreciate it.
Save you some money. Thank you, brother.
You about to have a drink right now.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. Envy had to bounce, but we got an icon, a legend on the line with us right now. Ice Cube, what's up, King?
Yeah, yeah, what's happening with you, man?
Blessed, black, and highly favored. I know you're like 15 days late, man, but happy belated, brother.
Oh, thank you, man. Don't worry about it, man. I take it all year. You know what I'm saying? Give it to me all year.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, you got some iconic things happening with the Big Three. It's a season four, right? Because you guys canceled last year, obviously.
So. Yeah, last year, the pandemic, you know, hit us pretty hard. So we had to cancel, which was the right thing to do, because we got to make our decisions about the season like in February, March. So February, March of 2020 was... Nobody knew what the summer would hold, what the year would hold. Would this be a 1 year lockdown, 2 year lockdown, what? So the smart thing to do is to cancel the season. But we back this year.
Now, did you have any doubts, Cube, about a season four of the Big Three after COVID?
No doubts. I got a great team that helps me with this league, and we was dedicated and committed to surviving. You know, most leagues don't even survive to the fourth year, to be honest, you know. So I think UFC is the only new league that came out and survived past 4 years. So we're just happy to be here. We start July 10th, you know, on CBS. If you don't catch the games on CBS, catch us on Triller or Fight TV. Six games, it's going down.
I love the growth of the Big Three, too, how you guys started. And every year, it's like you add on more and more to it, because you guys did the deal with Triller now. So can you explain how the deal with Triller works for people who don't know? Because we've seen the deal with Triller and Versus, and Swizz and Timbaland really had to break that down. So can you break down Big Three and Triller?
Well, you know, when we play, you know, it's six games for the price of one. So it's an afternoon of great hoops and sports. So with CBS... You know, we usually have about 2 hours on CBS, so we can get in a couple of games there. But then the rest of the games will be on Triller and Fight TV, and they'll be free of charge.
So tell us who's playing this season, too, because, we know things switch up all the time. So who do we have playing?
Oh, man, we got Nick Young. He in the league. Swaggy P. You know, we got the old favorites, of course. Joe Johnson, Nate Robinson, Katino Mobley, Rashard Lewis. We got new people like Jared Jack. We got Leonardo Barbosa in the league, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Reggie Evans, Drew Gooden, Mario Chalmers, Will Bynum, Maurice Spates. I mean, the names go on and on and on and on.
What did you think about Nate Robinson's fight versus Jake Paul? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. It didn't turn out too good for my man, Nate. You know, but I respect Nate for even getting in the ring. You know, anybody can talk. You know, you win some, you lose some. But as long as you're down to get some, you'll be all right. So, you know, he did his thing. Boxing ain't his sport. You know, I like to see how dude do on the basketball court against
yes.
Nate. You know what I'm saying? Nate should get a little revenge. So, boy, to get on the court with him for a little one-on-one, I think Nate will smoke him.
Now, you an L.A. icon, Cube, L.A. staple, L.A. native. So when we think L.A., we think of Cube. Do you find yourself rooting for the Clippers at all?
No, not at all. You know what I mean? I don't root for the Dippers. They kind of bogarted their way into the city years ago. You know, like a cousin that come over and spend the night and never go home.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they like. You know, they never went home. And then tried to take the city at some point. Like, they had this Lob City going on with Blake Griffin and all this. And they tried to take the city, and that's where they went wrong with me. You cannot have L.A. L.A. belongs to the Lakers. L.A. belongs to the Dodgers. You know what I mean? Everybody else is on lease.
So definitely wouldn't mind having former Clippers players in the Big Three. That's a good thing.
Oh, we welcome all NBA players to the Big Three. When you join the Big Three, man, you know, everything's forgiven. You know, we got some Clippers won the championship with Coutinho Mobley and Q Richardson, you know. So they was big-time Clippers, and they won the ring for power in 2018. So I got love for you when you cross the line and come into the Big Three.
Now, just as important as the players is also the commentator. So who can we look forward to seeing? Just let us know what's going on.
We added John Sally to the mix.
Oh, wow.
Rappaport was great for us. And so, you know, we felt like let's bring in somebody that played in the NBA, that know these guys personal, and see if we can get some more entertainment out of that. So, we're excited. You know, Rappaport, he actually had a movie he had to do. So, we happy to have John Sally. But we also got Lisa Leslie going to do some games when she's not.
Yes, I love that.
Which is great. You know, we got Avery Johnson, who's a former NBA player. He did some games for us in 2019, so he's great. So, you know, we're just trying to bring that top-level talent, you know, not only on the court but off the court, because it's what people used to. People want the best, and that's what we're bringing.
All right, we got more with Ice Cube. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Ice Cube. Charlamagne?
Now, Cube, does Ice Cube have any interest in doing verses?
Not really. It's a great idea, great concept, but there's nothing that's like on my bucket list, wish list, or nothing like that. It started off, you know, on the adversary tip, and then they showed a lot of love in verses, so I like how it's evolved because, you know, guys shouldn't be really going up there putting catalog against catalog. That right there to me ain't what it's about. It's about showing love. So I would have did it a little different. You know, my version of verses would have been I'll pull somebody out there like Chuck D, a Public Enemy or something, and I play all the songs I love from him. And he play all the songs he loved from me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a love fest. So, but, you know, it's not something that I'm thinking about doing. You know, if it come about, who knows? I ain't saying yeah, I ain't saying no.
That's interesting you say that because I always said if Cube wanted to do a versus, I think it should be Cube versus LL or Cube versus Public Enemy. Because of the celebration aspect, I don't know. I just think that would be dope. Cube and LL or Cube and Public Enemy?
Man, both of those are my heroes, man. You know, those are my OGs in the game. I can't see myself going up against them. And I love them too much. You know, they the reason I do this. So I don't know. You never know, man.
Which was your favorite one to watch?
I love the Snoop DMX one. I love the Too Short E-40 one. That was funny as hell. Just because, you know, I'm doing a project.
Mount Westmore.
Mount Westmore and Short. So to see them get up there and get down, you know, I had a ball with that. Yeah.
When is Mount Westmore dropping?
Oh, you know, we getting our ducks in a row. You know, we did Fight Club, Triller. We just got a lot of opportunities coming at us, and we had to kind of sift through them and see which was the best route. So I believe we done figured it out. So we're getting cocked and loaded. We're getting our visuals together because when we hit, we want to keep rolling.
Did Dre do any production on it?
I think Dre helped with this one song that Fred Reg did, but I'm not sure. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. He rapped on it for sure. You know, he definitely on the verse, but I don't know if he gave us any production.
You know, Cube, I think tomorrow it'll be the one-year anniversary of the contract, the Black America. Have you heard from anyone in the Biden administration about it?
Yeah, we heard from Cedric Richmond a couple of times. You know, we're still waiting for a follow-up on some things that we were trying to get set up. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, you know, out of the public's eye because things get misconstrued and, you know, people chime in when they don't know what they're talking about. So the first half of the contract of Black America when the election was going on was really focused on the public sector. Now, you know, since the election, we've been focused on the private sector. So we got some interesting things we're going to announce as soon as they, you know, fully develop. You know, I just wanted to take it out of all the noise that was being made and really try to get some concrete things done and not just all this talk and fuss and trolling back and forth. I just wanted to make sure that we was actually either making progress or not, so I could tell the people what's really going on.
So there is progress being made.
Yeah, I see some progress being made, but, you know, the rubber still got to meet the road. Mm-hmm. You know, what I learned with these companies, they talk a good game. They like to put out releases talking about what they're doing and how much money they are contributing and the programs of diversity. And it's all press release stuff. When you really look into it, they don't do nothing. So we just got to make sure the ones that saying they're doing something, you know, we're trying to, you know, look behind the curtain and make sure they're really doing it or find the people that's benefiting from these programs because, you know, they quit to put out a press release talking about how much they're doing for the community. And then we don't see the results. So, you know, we sick of that game, too.
Word. Well, when the big three start?
July 10th on CBS, 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 Pacific. And all day we're doing it. Every Saturday we're doing it on CBS. So every Saturday all summer long, hang out with the big three.
Absolutely.
I'm definitely making it to New Orleans for some of those games. I'm already in talks to try to make that happen with your publicist. So just so you know, I'll be out there supporting like always.
Come on out. You know, you supported us year one when we came to Brooklyn, you know, and we need that support. You know, we need some faces in the place. You know what I'm saying? So come on out, hang out and have fun.
Absolutely. It's the legendary Ice Cube. It's the Breakfast Club. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale has been extended for a limited time. Save up to $500 on top-rated brands like Sealy and Sleepy's when you buy a king bed for a queen price. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying purchase.
You remember this?
It's that time.
Bring it back.
Check out the classic topic discussion.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking about a story that happened in IKEA. What happened now, Yee?
Well, employees were upset because they actually did a Juneteenth celebration, and the menu featured fried chicken and watermelon. They said that was racially insensitive.
All right, so we're asking, is that racially insensitive? 800-585-1051. Charlamagne, you like chicken and watermelon?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it. You know, for reasons I have never explored or educated myself on, it is a negative Black stereotype when it comes to chicken and watermelon. But we're going to stop acting like everybody don't love chicken and watermelon, okay? Everybody loves chicken and watermelon. Majority of the people love chicken in all forms, whether it's fried, barbecued, grilled, sautéed, whatever. And a large amount of people love watermelon, especially in the summertime. Okay, now IKEA shouldn't have put it on the Juneteenth menu for Black people, you know, because it is a negative stereotype towards Black people. So I can understand why people thought it was racially insensitive, but you know, other than that, man, y'all gonna stop acting like fried chicken and watermelon is not great.
Now, Yee, were you offended by it?
Was I offended? I would think that you would know better than just have a menu featuring watermelon fried chicken to celebrate Juneteenth. Like, that's what black people love. Give them some watermelon and fried chicken. But
What if a black person actually did the menu? Let's say a black person said, you know what? I'm going to do a menu, and I'm going to put some of the stuff on the menu that I like.
Well, the black person didn't.
Was it?
No. That's what they was complaining about. That's what employees were complaining about.
I thought it was mad IKEA put the menu up.
Yeah, okay. and that was IKEA's problem. That's why IKEA should get Donkey of the Day today. Because once again, if you're going to do something culturally, bring people from the culture in the room to have the conversation. It goes back to what we was talking about earlier with Michael B. Jordan and Juve. If you're going to name the drink Juve, talk to some Caribbean people before you do that. If you're going to put together a Juneteenth menu, talk to some black people before you do that. It's not a hard concept, corporate America.
I agree with what you're saying, but like in Michael B. Jordan's case, right? I'm from New York. I go to Juve all the time. I always thought Juve was a celebration, so I would have never have thought in a million years what it was. You know what I mean? And I would have did it.
And guess what? You'd have been right there on Instagram apologizing with Michael B. Jordan.
Right. And saying I'm going to change the name.
That's right.
I mean, that's it.
Right, but you wouldn't have thought anything about it. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this Troy out of VA. What's up, Breakfast Club?
Troy, what's up, hey, man? IKEA, you know, put for the Juneteenth menu chicken and watermelon. Were you offended by it, bro?
No, I'm not offended, man. If my corporate America job gave me some fried chicken and watermelon, and it won't their intent to be offensive, if that watermelon is nice and red, and
oh my God.
Chicken got them 11 herbs and spices.
Goodbye, man.
He got a point. If the chicken is dry, you're going to be mad as hell. If the watermelon ain't ripe, you're going to be mad as hell. But boy, if that chicken is fried white right and that watermelon hitting, you're going to be happy.
Keith.
Scott. Yo.
Well, good morning. Were you offended when I can't put on the menu watermelon and fried chicken?
God, Charlotte is crazy, though. I wasn't offended. If I was offended by everything, man, I'd be exhausted. But I do say I love fried chicken. Where's Angela Yee at?
She here.
I'm right here.
Yo, Angela, she knows, Crown Chicken's got the best chicken in New York City. I love Crown Chicken.
Now, I don't know if I would say that they have the best chicken in New York City. You know where they have really great fried chicken? At Peaches. You ever had Peaches?
Oh, yeah, I love Peaches. I love eating brunch there.
Yeah, they got this honey hot chicken. That's amazing.
That's why y'all. Okay. I don't know why we fronting. I was on a boat.
I don't like watermelon, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard. I think that's a New York thing because I love me a nice ripe watermelon. I was actually in South Carolina a few weeks ago and I was on a boat with a bunch of the white homies, mm-hmm. and they had chicken tenders from Publix, mm-hmm. and watermelon, and them white people was tearing that chicken and watermelon up. And I wasn't even supposed to be on the boat. So that's what
they
had planned.
So they had that already.
They had that ready. That's what they wanted.
They wasn't impressing you.
That I do try to eat grilled chicken over fried chicken.
Me too.
So I don't really eat fried chicken that often.
Okay, yeah, fried chicken is very, very occasional, but that's just for health
purposes.
But I love barbecue chicken.
Grilled chicken is good.
Chick-fil-A is good.
Yeah, chicken is good. And watermelon is good too.
I don't know what to tell y'all.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Ash. Jersey.
Hey Ash, were you offended with IKEA's menu of the fried chicken and watermelon?
You know, being black, everybody say that we like chicken, we like watermelon, we like grape soda. Personally, I don't like grape soda.
I don't like grape soda either. But I don't like
drink
no
grape soda either.
I don't do
I
no
did
soda.
Used to.
I don't drink no
yeah,
soda.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting to me.
Do you like fried chicken?
Everybody likes fried chicken. People like fried chicken.
Yes.
They season it with what? Pepper and salt.
Do you like watermelon?
Just because watermelon is fine. It's not really my favorite. I like strawberries. You know what I mean? It's always a stereotype with us. Every time our pants sag it down, but they don't say anything when it comes down to a white boy doing the same thing.
Word. Drama.
I do want to say sometimes, you know how you have like a prefix menu and then they ask you, do you want the salmon, the steak, or do you want the chicken? And I always be like, the chicken.
Because chicken is good, guys.
I like the salmon right there.
I like salmon, too.
I don't eat seafood.
I think we ate more spaghetti in our house growing up than anything, but that ain't no negative stereotype.
I had Velveeta mac and cheese, boy.
Did you put sugar in your spaghetti sauce?
I don't know. My mama might. I didn't cook.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, Randy, man.
Hey, Randy. How are you, Randy?
Sugar.
I'm doing good, fella.
How you feel about chicken and watermelon, Randy?
You know what? When they picked up the phone, I said, I'm black, I don't care. But it's kind of weird. I live in Wisconsin, and I got, like, these white friends, and they like to make comments about chicken. But I love chicken and freaking watermelon.
What do you mean your white friends like to make comments about chicken? Give us some context, bro.
Like, give him the chicken.
Like, they'll say, man, you going to go enjoy some watermelon this summer? I mean, on this weekend? I'm like,
that might be a little racist.
You know what, I will, you know?
That might be a little racist.
Now, yeah, actually, why would a white person just randomly be saying that to you?
You going to go get some watermelon this
summer? Because I'm kind of a comedian. I like to talk about them not seasoning the chicken. So.
Oh, so they throwing the jokes back at
going
you.
Back and forth. Okay.
Yeah.
Got gotcha. You.
But that hit them a little bit. Know, guys. A little more harder than not seasoning the chicken, though, man.
I mean, to you? You don't know how that. Yeah. You don't know how them comments feel to white people.
All right.
Hey, well, you know, hey, before I go, though, I love all my white friends. They invite me all to their weddings, their cabins up north, so I love them all, man.
I love all my white friends. They even bring me around, and they let me come to their weddings, and they let me come to their kindergarten graduations. I love me my white people.
If you want to make somebody uncomfortable, right? Yesterday I went to Restoration Hardware, right? And I was like, so what's the Juneteenth sale? Or is this still Juneteenth sale? The guy looked at me like, Juneteenth sale? I'm like, yeah. It was just a Juneteenth holiday. You have a holiday for everything. You have 4th of July sales. You have late Memorial Day sales, President's Day sales. There's no Juneteenth sale. What? I got a percentage off. I just want to let you know.
What if he'd have said?
It's also no longer Juneteenth. I mean,
what if he'd have said? What if he'd have said Popeyes is doing sales all week? If you want to go get a 2-piece legend. I heard Rick Ross doing thighs now. I heard they got a sale going on too.
What's the moral of the story, man?
The moral of the story is chicken is good and watermelon is great. I don't know what the hell y'all talking about, but I get it. You know what I mean? Akil was just tone deaf. Once again, if you're going to do anything culturally, corporate America, bring people from the culture in the room so you don't make these mistakes. It's simple.
I'm kind of hungry right now.
You know what's so funny? That I was trying to clean stuff out of my fridge and I dropped all this fried chicken on the floor this morning.
Niggas, niggas.
Definitely did. I was like, whoops. Throw this out.
The Breakfast Club.
Audible.
The Power of 105.1. Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests with us today.
The host of the hottest podcast in the street.
That's what. Oh, I like that. I like the introduction. I'm gonna slide a couple hundreds in your pocket at the table. You get what I'm saying?
Wilder, what
that's
up,
what's
fellas?
Up, man. We in here, man.
Yes, sir. What's happening, my brother?
Big announcement. We just want to put it out there, Charlamagne. Just told us he turned Crip. You know what I mean? Got the whole blue on the guy. You know what I mean? He doing him, though. He got to survive.
He neighborhood stupid.
You know what I mean? He neighborhood. You know what I mean? He got to survive, man. I like how you code switch. Wherever you at, you go through Chicago.
I'm not banging nothing.
Yes, he is.
No.
He always, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. My fault. I don't want the sponsors to hear that.
Now, Gilly made my hotel hot in Atlanta over the weekend, right? Last weekend. I was staying in the same hotel.
Envy was shooting dice over there.
I was in and out. Oh, yeah. Gilly had people coming to the hotel to play dice. We recorded so much. I was hiding in
he
that
said,
hotel.
No.
He was shooting was dice. Envy hit a couple hot
there.
Numbers.
He had a couple numbers.
Envy won 1,500 and rolled out.
Yeah, rolled out. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to throw me under the bus. Gilly made my hotel high. He started the dice.
I saw you put that on video, Gilly. I was like, Gilly done seen worse than that in Philly.
That was a 5-star hotel.
No. Not shooting dice. They ain't going for that in Philly. That's a really supposed to be a really nice hotel. So, but and then what's so crazy is that after I posted it, you know, it went crazy viral and all the hotel people thanked me.
Yo, Gilly
manager,
basically.
I got in the elevator. The manager stepped in the elevator with me and was like, thanks for making the hotel go viral. I was like, are they shooting dice?
They don't care.
You ain't jump in, Gilly?
Yeah, he jumped in.
See, all right.
He jumped in the game.
All right. Now, I'm going to tell the truth of how I really went. When the dice game first started off, I walked over there. What you is betting? Then I looked down and said, man, you is betting $400. You ain't betting no money. They all pulled their money out. We got it. It's here. Don't get it f***ed up. I riled them up and then walked off and did the video. I came downstairs. So when they see me the next day, they told me, but you riding motherfucker. You was in the dice game.
Do you miss the artist part of the game? Like the being a rapper performing in city to city? Do you miss that part of the industry?
I do, but I don't.
It ain't too much to miss. And he wasn't like he was nobody in the game. You talking about, do he miss it? Somebody like a big artist like Wayne or... You ask them artists. You don't ask no f***ing no neighborhood rap.
First of all, listen.
Let me tell you something, Envy.
When did you ever do a show where he was there? When did you do a show?
When did you see a Big Bill? He didn't do Hot Summer Jam. He didn't do no big joints.
And you hosting karaoke night up.
You ain't seen him at the BET Awards. You ain't seen him at none of the big shows.
I did Soul Train.
They was taking people after a while. They was taking anybody after a while.
You don't
know. The label got you on Soul Train. Don Cornelius and say, we want Gilly on there. No, why would he know you?
Because you talking
about... Why would
about
Don Cornelius know you?
The same way the warden
knew you. You ain't had no soul. He's a f***ing loser. He's a loser.
The same way the warden
knew no way in the world. Listen, it's no way in the world I'm booking him for a show.
First of all, he mad because he started the group. And then you got caught. I didn't get caught.
No, I was his manager.
You started Major Figure as well?
Yeah, I took him to. He didn't know what was going on.
No.
I signed him under his first contract.
No, I wasn't a rapper. He was a rapper.
Oh,
he grew
he
up
rap.
A rapper. He went rap through well? All the phases. He went through the bums, kickity, bum, bum.
No, I'm a rap historian. I am a Yeah, I take pride of that. I take pride of that. I was a hype man and all. I went through the phases of rap.
Okay.
I was a hype man and everything.
He started off a hype man. A hype and another n***a's joined up. Throw your hands in the air.
No.
I looked at him like he was my nut-ass cousin. Like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Listen, y'all signed him to his first contract, though.
You got the slickest mouthpiece in the hood. I know you can rap. Then I started rapping. I was better than him.
He wasn't better than me.
He wanted to back my play because I was better than him.
I was his first manager.
He was my assistant.
I was your manager.
My tape,
out of here. I was your manager.
Run around past my tape.
I was his first manager. He's a nut ass. I was his first manager.
Let me just say this, too, because we be on the phone. We bust it up with Char, but Wallo bust it up a lot more. And on the way up here, he just said some shit that threw me off.
Like, what'd he say, Gilly?
We riding up here. And
he ready to lie on me.
And he was like, when we get in there, I'm sitting next to Charlamagne.
Like, I ain't tell you that. He's like, we in there.
And he definitely did.
Not for nothing. When you walked in, he cut you off and sat right in that seat.
Listen, no. I just had to look at him.
This is my guy,
man, my brother, man. Both of y'all, I love y'all, man.
I'm thinking of my mother. Did you just claim that as a Sally?
He just went. He want a group hug. He really want a group hug. That's all this is about.
He just put me in the cell with Envy. I'm sitting next to Charlamagne. All right, me and Envy cellies. All right.
I didn't say that, though. You lying.
Like, you came out of nowhere.
He's lying on me. I'm just saying.
When we get in there, I'm sitting next to
Charlamagne. I believe Gilly.
Damn, you lying.
No, hold on. Wrong. Angela, what really threw me off is he shortened the nigga name up. I'm sitting next to Char.
I ain't never call that nigga no Char. I call that nigga C.
Char.
I ain't never do that. You lying on me now.
I said, man, you got that. I just went back to sleep.
All right, we got more with Wallo and Gilly the King. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club in the morning.
Big brr.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Wallo and Gilly the King. $1 million worth of game, Charlamagne.
Gilly, you was one of them. You know, I was listening to it this weekend when you was on QDZ show and Beanie Siegel called in.
You just went in the Groovy Mars show.
That was so classic.
You called him Sharian.
Oh, you gotta add that, man.
State your name, gangster.
Come on, man. Y'all know what it says, man. Y'all can't be serious, man.
We serious, dog. You can't stop nothing over here, huh? You think you can stop us? Be real with yourself, dog. We men. We all know each other,
man.
We men.
Titter, I know you ain't talking, Titter.
I'm talking. Hey.
Y'all,
we put money up for hours.
Hey, Titter, that's your boy. What's up, Rock? What you want to do, man? You all daddied up and wiggled out. What's up?
I don't even know what they was beefing over, but
they had Gilly a misunderstanding,
was
man.
Screaming on Beanie, and then Beanie called in screaming on Gilly. That sounded like them was gonna shoot each other out as soon as the interview was over.
Gilly beefed with a damn near everybody in the industry at one point.
And then I went down a whole rabbit hole, and they was like, Gilly and Beanie got into a fight, and yada yada.
No, Gilly
yada,
said, Beanie like, sucker punched Gilly.
Lying.
I'm just saying, he sucker punched you. You caught yourself.
Don't put
baby.
That- there. Smut on my name.
Baby was there. He said,
as you talk. Oh, that, no, that was a rumor too on the line.
No,
there
wasn't no rumor. He got
All-Star Weekend. Beans.
Hey, ask Beanie what happened.
Beans, sucker punch you. Baby was there. My man, number one stunner was there.
You know how you know that ain't the truth? Because me and Beanie Siegel cooled it to this day.
Yeah, I saw those. So, no, they is solid. Too.
So, don't put no smoke on my name because you're going to have me tell what really happened up here.
I want to add to it, but that's another story.
But see, and it was different with y'all back then because there was always a chance that it could get physical or turn into some street
absolutely. All day long. Absolutely. It did turn into some street shit. It did. And, you know, Spade went to jail. It got real serious. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's why I don't even talk on that situation because somebody from our camp went to jail for murder. Somebody lost their life. And what's so crazy is that, you know, we was beefing with Beans and Freeway and State Property and a lot of shit went down. And then you look up 20 years later and these dudes are my brothers. Mm-hmm. Because we grew up and we understood that shit we was going through, that shit didn't even make no sense. That shit wasn't even that deep.
But when did y'all realize that? Because you beef with them and you beef with Joe. You beef with so many different people. When do you realize that?
Let me just say this about Joe. He didn't beef with Joe. Beef is when somebody get killed or shot. Mm-hmm. Him and Joe had a misunderstanding. But we straighten that out.
But you say, okay, Gilly beef with everybody. The State Property situation. Gilly was home minding his business. Gilly get a call. Turn the radio on. They on the radio rapping about us, coming at us. Wayne dissed me. Wayne put out a song called Problem Solver. Gilly, you don't want to f*** with me. They're gonna be.
Gilly, man, I don't think you should really f*** with me. The gun off me urgently, working it, twerking it perfectly.
See, one thing about me, I never start no shit. But if you f*** with me, then you just know I'm coming. I ain't never start nothing with nobody. Now, I might talk a little shit to Baby from time to time, but that's because I was around and I seen how he did.
How serious are y'all about Wallow trying to get your masters back from Baby?
Now, that's it.
Really on Wallow, your masters?
Man. No, Baby really. I talked to Baby. Baby said, Wallow, listen, whoa. He said, whoa, listen, whoa. He said, your cousin, I lost money with him.
Yeah.
I said, well, how can we straighten this out? He said, man, he be talking crazy. I said, cuz. Yeah, I got a video from Gil apologizing to Baby, and I sent it to him. So right now the lawyers is talking, so it ain't going to be that long. I'm going to get
he really
master.
On your masters?
Yeah, he own his masters.
Right, let me tell you how I really want
he was on Cash Money Record. He said, on everybody masters.
He said, Baby, how can I get my cousin masters back? He said, give me a kiss.
Get the f*** out of here. You seen that picture of him kissing you, but that's the whole twist, though. But at the end of the day, He owned his master, so I'm negotiating that. It is not like it's worth something, but I want to just give him to him and say, here go your masters.
Yeah. I wonder how you and Beanie did get on good terms, though, because you talked about people going to jail, people getting killed, right? And people gave Jeezy so much flack for squashing it with Gucci. And it's just like, man, why can't you be bigger than the bull sometimes?
No. I'm just...
You think it's two different situations, and it's why.
You said somebody got killed?
Everybody's situation is different.
I think everybody.
We can't even talk on that because that's things we don't even know the particulars.
Are you saying that because they continued even during the verses? It was still.
No, I'm just gonna be quiet. I'm just.
You're never
He's
quiet.
Like, I want to speak on that.
Everybody say they grow up. But if you send some niggas to my crib to dust me off,
how you gonna feel?
I don't care. 40 years go by. We smoking Ronnie G. Ronnie G
Calm
came
down,
to dust
Wallow.
Me off, man.
No, I'm not counting.
Take me away from my family, man. It could be, what if Ronnie G would have gotten me?
So you can't.
So now
that, 20
years later.
That's personal.
He tried to dust me off. I dusted Ronnie G off in the process. I don't know how everybody else feels, but 20 years later, we smoking Ronnie G.
I agree. I see what you're saying, but at some point, don't you got to let go of that trauma, though?
No, not when he tried to come dust me off, take me away from my kids.
Because what if he wins? What if he did get him out of the way?
Because
I don't know. You know what I mean? That's different
strokes. It actually went down. Like, boo-bah, 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 boo-bah. Yeah, they could have returned fire. They could have killed my kids in
but
here.
But that's the easy. Everybody got a different way to approach.
They could have dusted everybody off in the house. Mm-hmm. So now, because I was on point, it caught you slipping like a bad transmission, laid you down like baby hairs, had to go to jail, I think, fight the case and all that, if I'm not mistaken, lose years of my life, money, and I'm supposed to feel sorry. I'm just saying, that's just the way I think.
I get it. I told you.
I would have been smoking on Ronnie G in there, too.
I'm going to say this, though.
You never let it go, Gilly?
I would. How you let it go, somebody tried to dust you off?
Yeah.
the difference between you losing your life and you living is like this, man. When I'm hot, I don't know if y'all ever been shot before.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Oh, okay, I've been shot before. So this is this close. The bullet could have went this much closer. Mm-hmm. I could have been done. Now my kid's growing up without a father.
Yeah.
We smoking Roddy G forever. I'm just a petty nigga.
So how did you squash it with Beanie?
I'm just saying, we didn't lose nobody.
Oh, your side did?
No.
Oh, okay. Got you.
So, I mean, it wasn't that hard for us to squash it. See, it gets personal for me because they tried to kill me. How you ever get over somebody coming to your house and trying to dust you off? No.
All right, when we come back, we got more with Gilly the King and Wallo. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Gilly the King and Wallo, $1 million worth of game podcast. Charlamagne?
What's some shit y'all learned about each other on the podcast? Because like you said, Wallo was gone for 20. Even though
no, we deal with each other every day. He's okay. Like, this is like my girlfriend. Like, I'm not going to say my whoa. Girlfriend, but like,
oh my gosh.
I didn't mean to say that, but like, whoa. he's like the nagging woman that's
wait,
in, like,
a
the
nagging. Right.
I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry, guys. But he just be nagging me all day. You know what I mean? He's like a woman all day.
Y'all ain't learned nothing new about each other?
No.
Doing the podcast?
He's still a loser. He's
spicy as a motherfucker.
The loser.
He's so spicy.
See, everybody else go for that.
It's my girlfriend.
This dude.
How do you even
I didn't mean to say it like
say
that. I didn't mean to say that. Cuz. I was saying it like you just like a nagging, like a woman that always nagging somebody. Because all he do is nag all day.
I don't pay that attention. 20 years in jail. You never call a guy your girlfriend.
I'm comfortable like, with my identity and who I am. I'm cool. I'm not. Ain't nothing wrong with me.
Congrats on the engagement too, Wallo.
Oh yeah, man! I changed my life.
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about? Girlfriend,
yeah, that's it's a great thing, man.
Now, Gilly, were you really about to sign to Rockefeller? I saw you say that the other day.
Yeah.
Like, how close was it?
Jay-Z.
No, we had a
Jay-Z
situation.
Jay-Z told him get the out of here.
No. No, let's be for real.
What did Jay really tell you though?
All right. Initially, being signed to Rockefeller, then Major Figures was supposed to sign to mm-hmm. Rockefeller. By the time they came back with the deal for Major Figures, I had already signed with Suave House. Then Dutch and Spade went over here to Unattainment. Lava went down here with Dr. Dre.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jay wanted the group. So then when they came at us with the contract, it was like, I'm an independent. I'm a solo artist. I get 15 points a bump at gold, a bump at platinum. There's 7 people in this group, man. We got 12 points, man.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to sell a quadrillion records to make some goddamn money, man. So I turned the deal down.
And what Jay told you?
Then they went out and got State Property.
Mm-hmm. No, but what the
this is before State Property.
No, yeah.
Oh, Envy. But what did Jay-Z tell you after you turned it down? And did he stand on what he said?
Man, let's just say the black ball's real, man.
What did Jay-Z tell you, though? What did Hove tell you? God MC. What did he tell you?
Shout out to Hove, man.
Jay blackballed you in the industry back then?
Hove told him, I'm going to make it hard for you. It's going to be hard for you.
Damn.
He said that?
Did you feel
those now? Eye on Blue Daddy now.
Did you bitching now?
Did you feel those effects? Did you feel that the black ball?
Man, everybody know. Come on, man. Cause you know I've went through the system.
What
you got the text messages. Don't play this.
Hov told the
you got the text messages.
He was scared. He's scared of Hov.
First of all, DJ Drama already said what it was.
Yeah, I know Lil Wayne put that whammy on
it. You know, Cash Money did it to me. But, man, at the end of the day, man, you look up 20 years later, me can't blackball God.
I always played you on my mixtapes, though. We always had a great relationship.
You played me to the text came through. Oh, that is not good.
Jay iced you.
Well, maybe he meant it in, like, a friendly competition way. Like,
yeah.
All right, you know, you're going to sign the Suave House, but we're going to make it hard for you.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I think that might have been like some friendly competition. Like,
how did you feel when he?
Because I'm gonna go
that.
Grab these other boys.
I mean, I was a young
nigga
in the game. I didn't know Jay was about to be the next biggest nigga for 20 years. So I was like, man, what the fuck are you talking about?
Y'all ever spoke after that?
Yeah, when I was signing Cash Money, we went to the studio one day, and I knew I was supposed to stay on the bus. Because Baby told me to stay on the bus.
Baby told me to
Baby
stay
told
on
you
to
stay on the bus.
Thank you.
Yeah. I told you my man Baby
because they knew
was
I had
running
an
this
issue.
Cat.
They knew I had an issue with them before.
You ain't had no okay. issue with nobody.
Beans was on f***ing Cash Money.
Was on
Rockefeller.
Okay. Baby said, stick, keep your ass on the bus.
Oh, okay. That was during the beef.
Yeah.
Keep your butt on the bus.
Baby was like, yo, you might want to, you know what I mean? And I was like,
No.
And you got off the bus.
I went the fuck in the studio. He was like, wow, what's going on in here? Basically, he was talking about me being in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Wallow, we got to give Gilly some therapy, man.
Yeah, he been through a lot of shit.
The industry fucked me over, man.
There's no bullshit.
This is the best advice I can give you, young.
Put him through the
ring. Watch who you offend on the way up, man. Because the calls that go down behind closed doors that you would never know about, it can't fuck your life up, but it definitely put your shit to a halt, man. Mm. And let me tell you something about a lot of these artists, the big name artists with money, man. These niggas is bitch ass niggas, man. Because one thing about me, man, I would never stop no from trying to eat, man. I don't give a f- what me and you go through out here. I don't give a f- if we beefing in the streets. I don't give a f- if we had to shoot at each other. I don't give a f- what we going through out here. I ain't gonna never try to stop no from getting no money. So all the youth out there, watch who you offend on the way up, because these are some hoes, man.
And I'm not extremely sensitive
talking about Jay-Z, and I'm talking about the industry, period, man. The biggest thing I've learned from being in this industry is these niggas ain't who they say they is.
Have you ever gone back and double back and did business with people who back then, because like you said, you know, it was when you was coming up. Have you ever gone back and done business?
I mean, if they want to sock it to my pocket like a rocket, but one thing I know about these niggas don't do business. I had a nigga that's worth damn near $1 billion. I ain't even gonna say his name. This nigga calls me months back. I'm sitting in the bed with my wife. They call me and say, man, you're killing it out here, man. You're doing your thing, man. We gotta figure out a way we can get some money together, man. Okay, cool. But I like to work on a barter system.
We don't do no barter, no.
What the f- are you talking about, man?
F- out of
I'm 44
here.
Years old.
We don't
get
do
on
that.
My phone.
We don't do that.
You think I'm hyped because you calling me? You ain't who you used to be.
Who was
it? I don't know.
We ain't gonna get into that.
I don't work on no barter system.
You be talking about bartering.
I work on the socket to my pocket like a rocket system.
Every
nigga.
Time it come to the culture, niggas wanna scream, right. Oh, the culture, culture.
All the niggas that called us, I see what you doing.
That's all they was talking.
I love what you're doing. Hold on, I'm gonna see if I can make something happen for you. I tell you what them white folks did. Cha-ching.
So what if they y'all an invitation to the brunch?
Let me tell you something. The realest nigga in the game is in the room right now. Charlamagne.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to second that.
He's the only one to share the motherfucking plugs and the connection. You want to eat with a nigga, you want to compete with a nigga. And we don't want to compete with nobody. Yeah. We only in our own lane. We don't care about how much money Charlamagne make, Joe Buttons, Ronnie JoJo, Ronnie Race Car,
Delaware
Donnie. We don't count no niggas' pockets, man. We hope Charlamagne go up to $500 million. DJ Envy,
we need
get a trillion dollars in real
to
estate.
Up to that.
Yeah, you need to start sharing some of them houses with me too.
You need to answer your first. How about that?
Okay, yeah, I like that.
How about that? Yes, I called you and then
it
I went to Wallow.
Him and Caesar. He DM'ing niggas. How you DM'ing niggas if we got the plug?
You got you get a call. You ain't call my phone.
I called your phone and I DM'd you. And I ran him on Wallow at the hotel.
I pressed him, huh?
I
just said when you run down on
your pressed him. I was like, yo, you want to
draw my call? Listen, no. You talking about DM. But I'm going to say this, though. Charlamagne, we got to salute you. Get your flowers now because I'm telling you, bro, this be so fake. It was so many people. Oh, I like the part. Y'all killing them. Listen, man.
You in with this
listen,
person.
Man. None of these boys call talking no money.
Never.
We talked when the other people call. Tell me what you want. Just tell me a number. Tell me the numbers. I said I don't talk like that. My lawyer deal. I call you back. Click. Every time we talk to them. Mm-hmm. But every time the bro, let's get together. Don't call us about no champagne. Don't call us about no clothes.
No
don't call us about
brunches.
Don't call us about
lunches.
If it ain't no brunch. If it ain't no budget. So, don't call us.
So y'all not going to the Rock Nation brunch?
Hold up. I do want to take a picture with Jay-Z. I gotta send it back to the homies. Gil, you gotta take one. I gotta send it back to the homies in jail. You know how major it is when a cell block wallow out there with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And I gotta write a caption. I just gotta do it one time. Everybody else in the game
you know
wrote
the Wait,
hold on. Let me ask you a question. What picture is bigger to you, Jay-Z or Baby?
I can't let Baby hear me say this. Your contract might be messed up. So can I not comment on that? Because if I go the wrong way, I might can't get your masters back. Can we get away
you
from
love
here?
Home, though.
No,
We love Hov.
I'm going to keep it all the way real. Even when we was doing business with them niggas, Hov was always the cool nigga. You know, Dane was the nigga that was a little, he just rubbed you the wrong way. Like,
Mm. I f with Dame too.
Use a coaster. You f whatever anybody.
Use a goddamn lie.
I'm just saying, like.
All right, when we come back, we got more with Gilly the King and Wallow, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we got a classic donkey of the day.
Who that is?
It's the Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Usually, this is where we do rumors, but we still have Gilly the King and Wallow here. $1 million worth of game. This is very interesting. Jay-Z or Drake? This is a conversation everybody's been having.
They had that with Flex on. That was a good one.
Jay-Z or Drake?
First of all, I'll just say this. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Drake fan. I've never in my life gotten a car and threw Drake on. That's the God honest truth. You know what I'm saying?
I like him when he raps. I don't like all that singing.
You know,
Lemon Pepper Freestyle. He was spitting on there. He was spitting balls
on
there.
I hear it.
It's all subjective
day, all day, every f-ing day, Jay-Z, man. What the f is we talking about?
I don't understand.
What is we talking about?
We grow. We older, though. So
I understand we older.
Drake, R&B singer.
Like, what is we talking about?
We gonna say who better, Chris Brown and Jay-Z?
Like, what the f is we talking about?
It's not the same, man.
It is.
These kids love Drake.
No.
He is.
And he rapped, though.
No.
Because listen, Drake is the greatest of his time. That don't mean I have to listen to you. Jay-Z was the greatest of our time. He only sold 2-3 million records every time he came out. So everybody wasn't listening to him. All I'm saying is Drake say a lot of light skin shit.
Oh boy.
That nigga that you love so bad.
So you listen to him.
Who's going to tell a girl, f*** that nigga that you
that's
love so
bad?
What were you talking
about? Yeah, that
was me. Guys say stuff like that. FYI, guys say stuff like that all the time.
I know you think about the times we've had.
No, she's not. You just said she let us. What are you talking?
I'm just saying you could do better. Wait, Annie, you think your woman can't do better than you, MB? You think my woman can't do better than me? Here's what. Nope. Yes, she can.
No, she can.
That's why y'all do side. That's why you do side Sundays.
You gotta do them.
Right. I'm only gonna hate only if you make me. How you gonna make me hate? Can't nobody make me hate.
It's deep.
Yo, Baka gonna dish you, yo.
I'm just telling the truth.
Baka.
I don't care about Baka. Who is Chewbacca? And the song was
or Clue.
DJ, oh, Clue would go in his. You got
I just was talking to Clue the
just
other day.
Just mixtape. We talking about just straight mixtape.
Drama.
You the perfect one. You from
drama.
The era.
Drama.
Why?
I agree.
Because Drama had a little longer run.
And he I'm had a saying, bigger brand. Gangsta I'm saying had a bigger brand.
Drama kept real. His name the same the whole time.
No.
Clue did Professional 1 through 108. It would be the same brand.
But what I'm saying is Clue set the stage for Drama.
He did, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to say that.
I agree with that.
But when Drama dropped that Gangsta Grill shit, like, everybody that Drama dealt with on that Gangsta Grill shit, at one point in time, that shit took off.
Yep.
From the Jeezys to the T.I.s to
this.
The Waynes to the you name
but they
them.
Was out already, though.
Yeah, but that it took them, it propelled them.
Clue broke Fab, Mace, and the Locks, the people that nobody
I'm
broke.
Saying,
Drama
saying,
outbreak Jeezy.
Hold on. Yes, cool.
Jeezy was
but
out
I'm saying
no,
Clue.
Man.
I'm
no.
saying
no.
Clue.
Yeah.
I'm saying Clue.
Was what put Jeezy on the map.
I understand, right. But I'm saying Clue because I was in jail. Mm-hmm. And before I went to jail, Clue had this shit. He did shit the dudes wasn't doing.
I think Clue
and Drama, my man.
DJ Drama had the biggest series because nothing was bigger than Gangsta Grill.
No.
And Clue broke like Envy.
Huh? He broke Envy. And but
yeah,
I'm
Clue
saying
broke Envy.
Drama said he wanted to be a superstar.
Yeah.
Because after Gilly stopped writing for Wayne, then Wayne started heating up again through those mixtapes.
Do you believe Gil wrote for Wayne?
Not really.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you.
He's, I never you known Gilly to be a liar.
You with me, though. I don't think he wrote for him.
So let's ask, Gilly, did you write
why
for Lil Wayne?
Why were you lying about it, though?
Let's clear it up right now. Did you write for Lil Wayne?
Nah, I ain't never. Not one bar.
I'm tired of this conversation.
Gilly kind of the original Quentin Miller, man. Because he helped people, but then he got the show and then the stick.
Let's just go into all the shit that I said in the freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me one lie. You're 4 albums in and ain't received a publishing check.
What do that got
that
to do with
that was in 2004? Wayne was just suing Baby for $52 million in 2017, right? Mm-hmm. Bro, one thing I don't do, man, I don't do no faking or no fraud.
He told Wayne about what a publishing man. Check was. He didn't know.
Motherfucker said, man, I just know if I go gold, I get gold money. If I go platinum, I get platinum money.
Go what?
He came down there and f***ed the old system up.
So it was you that f***ed up Cash Money.
Yeah, he told Baby.
What? I got around to start finding out. Wait, hold on. This is on the label and
Because is your manager?
That's a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. I don't know about no conflict of interest. I just know, okay, yeah, I just know you're getting f***ed.
So why you end up beefing then if you was putting them in the game?
I have no idea why we ended up.
So do you respect an artist like Drake or like an artist like Wayne who doesn't necessarily always write his own rap?
Let me tell you something, man. Music is about going in the studio, having fun, expressing yourself. Sometimes there's one person in there, sometimes there's three persons in there, sometimes there's five people in there.
Like, people keep fronting, like, a lot of these great, some of our greatest artists, they didn't have people that write shit for them. We the only genre of music that's so worried about that. Everybody else, most of their hits, they ain't even write.
That's why rappers be having a limited shelf life.
We have a limited, yeah.
Guess who don't care that Drake ain't write that music?
The fans.
Huh? It's the fans. Woman that's gonna suck his at the end of the night. They ain't sucking Quentin Miller. We gonna suck Drake balls out his and spit them down at the end of the bed. Not Quentin Miller. Quentin who?
Man, listen. Somebody gonna edit that from Drake's team.
I know. It just sounds crazy.
No music, no talking. Exactly. He just said it clearly.
We gonna suck Drake.
No, them bitches is.
As long as you get paid.
I said they gonna suck Drake.
No, you didn't. We said we, man.
I ain't say no we.
You just say we.
We gonna suck Drake balls out his and spit them down at the end of the bed.
Oh my God! Oh, not me. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
If anybody gonna get Drake nuts,
that ain't just him. I ain't got nothing to do with that. This boy is spicy right here, man.
If anybody gonna listen, get Drake man. You know who's going to
I'm
going to
say this, though.
Oh, man. Gillian Wilde got to be on TV, man.
Hold on. Listen. Some happening. There's some that's happening. But I want to say this, though. I got these books I brought for y'all. This for you right here, my brother.
My brother.
I'm going to get this. What's the name? They got,
I actually already ordered them.
Listen, they got, hold up. They got glass around the joint.
He's going to keep giving you the books.
This is like a prison visit. Like, we up here. Look. You see this? This is like a prison visit.
When you coming home.
Yo, what's up? But listen, man. Everybody that's out there, right? Go ahead, zoom in on these. Part one, part two, part three. This is your daily push. Wallow 267 Life, the mind of Wallow 267 1, 2, and 3. You can check it out on wallow267.com. Go out there, show me some love. Got some merch on there too, some other things. You can also go on OnlyFans. Gil got an OnlyFans. He got a feet page. He's dipping his feet in all type of desserts and all type of dressings. Like OnlyFans.com/Gil. You can find all types of stuff over there.
I saw y'all coaching with Dion the other day too. Oh, yeah, at Jackson State.
Yeah, I gave him some of my plays, man.
Y'all got Dion on Boston, right?
Yeah. We went, you know what I mean? That's our guy.
When you pass the connects off, you opened our minds up. They're like, pass damn, the connects. All the niggas don't hold on to the connects. So
you helped a lot of people, too.
We got to pass them on, too.
This boy right here, Black Effect, is doing some great things. I want to give a shout-out to him. I got to get his brother's flowers right now. Earn Your Leisure, Big Fact Podcast,
my guys.
85 South.
My guys.
What's the name? What's my girl name? She funny.
Just hilarious.
You got everybody over there. You're building an empire.
We're doing all right. We're doing okay.
No, y'all not doing all right. You're trying to downplay. Matt Barnes and them over there.
My guys.
Everybody's over there.
I'm happy to be working for all of those individuals.
Listen, yes.
You're getting all that money.
Yes.
We getting money.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
I just tried to throw your shit back out because you put my shit out there.
We appreciate you brothers for joining us.
No, man, these boys, man.
Do y'all see Wallow and Gilly on TV soon, though?
Oh, y'all will.
It's coming.
I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah, don't say nothing.
I'm not going to say nothing.
I'm not going to say that.
I'm not saying nothing.
Gilly Wallow.
Appreciate y'all,
listen,
man.
Listen, man, we appreciate y'all, man. The Breakfast Club do not have breakfast here. So if you come in here, don't look for nothing to eat. They will starve you in this joint.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up for the full interview, wake up. Check out the Breakfast Club YouTube channel. More of the best of the Breakfast Club coming up. Yeah. The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
If summer is inspiring you to be a little bit healthier, Audible is a great help. Check it out for guided meditations, motivating podcasts, and audiobooks on fitness and nutrition. Get your first audiobook free when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audible.com/breakfastclub.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, listen, if you hear me talking to you right now, that means I'm not really here. Okay, we're on vacation. It's a best of show. But, you know, Donkey of the Day, I remember 10 years ago when I started this segment, I said that I hope that one day, you know, it'll grow to be a legendary, you know, radio segment. It's still not up for me to say that, but we've had some pretty good ones. Okay, they say this one is a classic. Here you go.
Donkey of the Day, yeah, you dumb ass. You get Donkey of the Day, yeah, you dumb ass.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm gonna fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlamagne to tap them gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was gonna be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Donkey of the Day goes to, Newsmax anchor Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is a man who doesn't like weed. Marijuana, cannabis, pot, grass, ganja, whatever you want to call it, he's not with it. This is Greg Kelly and Dr. Kevin Sabet on his Newsweek show talking about reefers. Plural, listen.
New York State legalizes the recreational use of marijuana. And we join more than a dozen other states now where you can light up for no other reason at all than to get high. Personally, I think this is a very, very bad move. Doctor, first to you. You're not cool with this, right? This is a bad thing. I know all kind of gateway drug, all that stuff, not to mention all the mental health issues.
Yeah, it's a really bad idea. You know, today's marijuana is not your Woodstock weed of the past.
Let me tell you something. I am not a weed head by any means, okay? Your Uncle Sharla, when I was a young lad growing up in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, dropping the clues bombs from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, I used to smoke a lot of weed. In fact, myself and some of my partners, when we was in our teens, we called ourselves the infamous Buddha heads. We all took weed-like names. There was Bobby Buddha, Ichabod Ism, Mikey Marijuana, to name a few. Me, well, I was Charlie Chronic. What I didn't realize back then was I was, shut up. Don't judge me. I was young. What I didn't realize back then was I was prone to having severe anxiety attacks. The weed was not helping that. I just didn't know what it was back then. And I just thought it was the life I was living, along with the weed. Extreme paranoia just came with the territory. And when I saw Chris Tucker, you know, playing Smokey and Friday, hiding out in the chicken coop after smoking some weed, I said, oh, so it's just perfectly normal for me to be paranoid, scared, and go hide out in the woods just because. But then I went to jail for assault and battery with intent to kill. If you want to know why, it's in my New York Times bestseller, Black Privilege. I've told y'all this story a million times. No need to rehash. But while on probation, it just became too much of a hassle to smoke and stay clean. So I was doing everything from Golden Seal to Catch Claw. I had partners telling me they would give me their piss, but it was just all too much. So I just quit smoking. Okay, weed to prison, easy choice for me. But then, every now and again, I would attempt to do it, and that's when I realized smoking weed is just really not for me because it makes my anxiety go through the roof. Back then, I had no idea, but now I fully understand. And to this day, if I smoke weed, I have panic attacks. Now, edibles, that's another story. I can do edibles, okay? I don't know what it is about the edibles versus the smoking, but the right dosage of edibles, my God, 10 milligrams, 20, no more than 30 of a nice indica strain, it's heaven.
Okay, I will lay around the house on the weekend when the kids go to sleep, high off plant-based medicine, no anxiety, no stress, eating everything, and the sleep. Man, the sleep is fantastic. So, yes, I'm saying all that to say I am a fan of plant-based medicine. On a bigger note, I am happy that all these states are legalizing weed, especially the two states I spend the most time in, which is New Jersey and New York. Not only do I want weed legalized, I want every brother and sister who is in jail for a nonviolent weed offense to come home. All the folks who, because of all these tough-on-crime drug bills that Joe Biden wrote, by the way, I want them home if you are in a state where weed is legal. But, you know, this is America. We all don't think the same, so we have the Gray Kellys of the world. And the reason Gray Kelly is getting donkey of the day is not because he's against weed being legalized recreationally. I don't care about that. It's his opinion. He's getting donkey because of this tweet he posted. Listen, this is Gray Kelly. If you don't believe me, his Twitter handle is GrayKellyUSA. But he tweeted, and I quote, "Smoking weed, aka grass, is not a good idea. I've tried it back in the day, and it was worse," in capital letters, "than anything that happened to Hunter Biden." I don't know exactly what that means. I do know Hunter Biden just revealed he's battled addiction his whole life, alcohol and drugs. In fact, Hunter Biden said he was smoking crack every 15 minutes. It's in his new memoir, Beautiful Thing. So I guess he's saying weed was worse than anything that happened to Hunter Biden. That's false. But then he goes on to say, "I toked up with some buddies in Kentucky and woke up in Nairobi, Kenya, with no idea what happened." Oh, did I leave out this part? He said he woke up 4 days later in Nairobi, Kenya, with no idea what happened. So you smoke weed with your buddies in Kentucky and woke up 4 days later in Nairobi, Kenya. And then you put, "Don't do drugs." Gray Kelly, you smoked weed in Kentucky and woke up 4 days later in Nairobi, Kenya. Now, I don't know what part of Kentucky you are in, but I know Louisville, Kentucky is 8,013 miles away from Nairobi, Kenya. I Googled it. Okay, the flight time is 16 hours and 32 minutes, but forget how long it takes to get there. You said you didn't wake up until 4 days later. That, sir, is what the kids call cap. All right, Greg Kelly, I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, nor am I the strongest Avenger, but I have a feeling that to you, Captain America is the strongest Avenger. Greg Kelly, what's your sign? You seem like a Cap Ruckhorn. Okay, I saw a tweet you posted about being mad McDonald's didn't have the big fish anymore, which I thought was strange because you seem more like a Captain D's kind of guy. Greg Kelly, if you did a drug that caused you not to wake up for 4 days and you ended up in Nairobi, Kenya, by way of Kentucky, you need to file a police report. Okay, there needs to be an investigation. The hardest drug I ever smoked in my life was cocaine mixed with weed. And that's because I was smoking with some dudes I didn't know from Florida. That goddamn Florida. Mm-mm. All right? Matter of fact, that devil damn Florida. All right? Hate to tell y'all this about the cocaine and weed, but it was an amazing high. I would never do it again. Have never done it again. Okay? But it was an amazing high. I'm saying all that to say I didn't pass out for 4 days, nor did I wake up in Kenya. Okay? I don't care who you ask. Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa, Willie Nelson, Cheech and Chong. They will all tell you, Gray Kelly, that you a lie. Okay, look, man, if you don't want weed to be legalized, fine. If you don't think people should smoke weed, fine. But don't make up stories that ironically make you sound high as hell. Not just make you sound high, but make you sound like you ingested some drug way stronger than weed. You need to check your boys. Because if you passed out after smoking some type of drug with them, woke up 4 days later in Kenya, that means they was dragging you around like Bernie's corpse. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a game of stinky finger plate. But you don't have to worry about that because it didn't happen. Stop the blood clot capping. Please give Craig Kelly the biggest hee-haw. Somebody just got to lie because they don't want you to do something. You ain't got to make up that kind of lie just because you don't want us to do something. That's never happened to nobody.
I ain't going to front. That didn't make me not want to do it. That going to make me, like, I smoke some weed and I end up in Kenya?
4 days later?
4 days later.
I ain't even get on a plane. Did I pay for this trip? So who booked the trip for me?
I don't know.
So nobody booked the trip? Who took my passport? Did somebody pack clothes for me? Who did all? I just magically ended up in Nairobi? Bring me that strain.
I need that strain.
I need that strain right now.
I've been trying to go back to Africa, South Africa, yo, Kenya. It don't matter. Nigeria. Take me back.
That back to Africa strain. Whoa. Yes. Whoa. I'll Who got the back right to now. Africa strain out there? I need it.
I need the Johannesburg. I need to go back to Johannesburg. What? Give that to me now. Mm-hmm. Jeez. All
just
right.
Don't name it the Mandela. That would be disrespectful.
Yeah, you can't. You cannot.
Don't
name
do
it.
That.
No.
Don't do that.
No, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, we know how you niggas think.
Thank you for that donkey of the day. Mm-hmm.
All right, we got more coming up next. Keep it locked. It's the best of the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, DJ Envy is off right now. But we got a couple of special guests in the building, man. Two of my favorite young personalities in this culture. My nephew, Mouse Jones.
Yep.
My niece, Nyla Simone.
Hey.
What's happening? But y'all have a podcast called The What?
Yep.
Hip-hop questions, legends, and lists. Yep. What makes y'all qualified to talk hip-hop?
One, we was born in it. Being Nyla's friend for so long, I realized, like, I always thought Nyla was so much younger than us, but then, like, we had a conversation. It's like, she's a millennial as well, just at the other spectrum. Yep. The millennials, we are the babies and children of the pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're the last, we're the tweeners, right? Like, we're the ones that grew up.
Bow Wow's your Jay-Z.
No. Jay-Z's my Jay-Z.
Yo, why did
we're not going to attack. Look. This is what he does. No. So, listen, Bow Wow is Bow Wow.
Yes.
He was the first to sell out the mm-hmm. Garden. Let's remember that. We'll never ever shit on what Bow Wow
did. I love Bow.
But he's not Hov. Hov is Hov.
Okay. That's why okay.
Hov is Hov.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what makes us qualify, because we can have we lived through all of that.
It's like hip hop is our culture at the end of the day. As African Americans, like, we don't really have origins back. Like, we can't go back to, I'm from, you know, this place in Africa. We do these traditions. But for us, like, hip-hop is the culture. You know, we grew up watching BET, Rap City. Mm-hmm. We grew up watching, you know, different rappers, and we emulate them, like our heroes, Diddy, Jigga Russell. You know what I mean? So that's why we're qualified.
Perfect example, just to show the opportunity you keep giving us. Just as many times we've both been on Brilliant Idiots, there's always somebody questioning why we take a stance, and if they don't like our stance, why, you know what I mean? That's what hip-hop does.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you don't like, they don't like you, they try and disqualify you. The minute they don't agree with something, they try and disqualify
it. Well, it's also subjective. I mean, everybody has their own different opinions.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. But just to show, you know, our qualifications, like, listen, well, we've been here. You know, somebody like me, I've been here from the beginning, right? Like, my whole life is hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, shout out to my dad. Spoon fed me. You know what I mean? It's 95, 96. I remember Reasonable Doubt. And I also remember my dad being like, you can't really get into that until you get into this. And that's when he introduced me to Rakim, Sugar Hill. Like, I had to know Sugar Hill Gang. So when they was doing it on the band, I was like, hey, I don't know the words, the rap is delayed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been here. So yeah, if you want to question that, then you're just on your own.
Same thing with you too, Nyla, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. My dad hipped me to everything early. My mom is heavy R&B. Like Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, Donald Jones, Sane.
She got an iffy take on Lauryn Hill and Mary J.
Oh my God.
Yo, the question was, is Lauryn Hill, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, better than Mary J. Blige, My Life? And I said, the most impactful album is the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Like, that one, it trumps.
We talking just music, though. Music, to me, My Life is a better album.
Way better.
This is completely different music, though. You got to think, like, Miseducation for a lot of women, like, it's a hip hop album too, and R&B, but it's also hip hop. Mary, it's
so
like
My Life.
I don't see
my. It's
Mary the Queen of Hip Hop Soul,
but she has people rapping on it. It's death, like having people like Chucky produce, like, that's a hip-hop.
I think Lauryn Hill identifies more as a rapper than as a singer, though. I would say she considers herself a hip hop artist.
I don't know, because like all the big records, the huge records off that album was R&B. I love Miseducation, Lauryn Hill. I just think My Life is a better album.
Both classic albums. I don't like when people try to be like, what's better? Because it's, you know, X Factor was a huge song. My Life, obviously, that was an amazing album. But I don't see how you compare.
Well, you have to.
That's hip hop.
That's what I said. You have to.
But I don't think a Mary J. Blige is a hip hop artist.
She's the queen of hip hop soul.
She's definitely a part of hip hop. But the Miseducation is definitely the better album. But Mary's album is great.
I love
great
how she
awesome.
Do that. She do that on the podcast,
it's
too.
It's great awesome.
She does that Jedi mind trick on the podcast, too. Like, you'll be debating, and she'll be like, all right, it's the better album. And like,
I'm just trying to wrap it up.
She's firm in her convictions.
I'm just trying to wrap it up.
It's disgusting.
But I'm glad that both of y'all were schooled by older people on
absolutely.
The culture.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Shout out to my parents.
All right, we have more with Nyla and Mouse. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Nyla and Mouse. Yee.
So who is the queen of rap?
Cardi B.
Yep.
It's not even, no question. Cardi. It's Cardi and then like
Rap
the next.
City. Cardi and Rap City. That's
y'all
who we gave it to.
Y'all disrespectful.
I don't say y'all. I didn't.
How
that's
that
not my take.
Who
I mean, if we're talking about the moment, if we're talking about
we're talking about the past
5 years.
Oh, see, that's different.
Cardi is the queen.
But listen to that's his different. List after. Go ahead.
All right, so if we're talking about the moment, Megan would be in the moment.
No, absolutely not.
Well, yes.
Absolutely
and
not.
And then you know who he put over Megan in the moment? He
no, said, I didn't. Oh, go ahead.
Sweetie is over Meg. I like your
I'm going to tell you why.
And we're talking as MCs. We're not talking based off TikTok. We're not talking based off everything else. We're talking
I'm going to tell you why I say that. So it's Cardi. Cardi number one. And then the space between number two is pretty large, right? The reason I say that is because if you're going to give Meg that second spot, you also have to account that Meg's output doesn't match her talent level.
If I'm talking just for the moment, like right now, I'm going Megan. Like, because if we're doing it like sports, right? And it's about the year. Like, you know, we're awarding people for the year, MVP or whoever. You would have to give it to Meg for queen.
Yeah, but nobody does it by the year.
For the year,
yeah. No, nobody does it by the year. And also, and where would this be? She had as many drops as Cardi.
She's won all the awards. She's got very celebrated during awards season.
Yo, yeah, BET went crazy for
her. She won
last
Grammy.
Night.
Yeah, awards. She won a
the Savage
won,
joint with Beyonce.
I said Grammys.
Don't say that.
Well, she won a Grammy.
She won a Grammy thanks to Beyonce.
That's great.
Beyonce got somebody else a Grammy. Shout out to the Beyonce stimulus. Listen, I don't hate Meg.
Savage was going up before Beyonce.
That's
was
right.
On
yeah. That's why Beyonce jumped on it.
Both of them.
It wouldn't have been Savage. But Savage doesn't get a Grammy without Beyonce.
It was a big record. I don't know. I mean, it
wouldn't have been. It was a big record because of Beyonce. It would have been a TikTok record. It would have been a great TikTok record.
And TikTok helped push
it. Took it to the next level. And I'm sure Meg would say the same thing.
Yeah, like
took it to the next level.
Exactly. Like, I think it goes. And the only reason I have a problem with just solidifying Meg at the number two spot is, like I said, her talent doesn't match her output. She's extremely talented. Her output doesn't say that. She's had two blah projects. After Tina Snow, she drops the Suge project and what was the other one? Like Hot Something. Hot
I can't
Sugar.
Judge her music. It's not for me. I'm not a.
And
I'm a,
also, I just think you can't really say that because I know mad girls who will play that album.
Absolutely.
Full through.
Yeah, maybe it's not for you guys.
You were.
Yeah.
No. I could always point out something that's not for me. That's easy. But I also don't let that be a crutch. Like, just because it's not for me, put it at the top. No.
I like her. What is Nicki then?
Nicki right now? Nicki's somebody who used to be. She in the kingdom still.
In the kingdom still?
Yeah. Cardi ousted her. She was the queen for 10 years.
She's still a queen. I mean,
no, absolutely not. Yeah, she got removed.
But can't you have different queendoms? Everybody don't have to have one queendom.
No, see, that's what we do in hip hop. And we don't do that with the guys, right?
I was going to say, we have to make it
all fair. If everybody's
that's not true.
With guys, everybody's competing for the same spot.
That's not true.
No, I don't think
that's
so.
That's absolutely not true.
I don't think
that's
so, because I think they do give guys like more leeway to be like, he's great.
That's right.
They'll be like, you could say everybody's
Kendrick,
great. No,
J. Cole,
you could say
Drake.
Right.
They do that all the time. But, they don't say.
Well, Nicki's a vet in this, though. I don't really think she's still.
She's the influence.
Like, she's already true. Nicki.
I agree with that.
What about Nicki versus Lil' Kim? You heard Lil' Kim say she went to do
I think
versus.
That'd be dope. And no. Wait, you didn't say who you thought was the queen. At the.
I think that's a hard one to call because it's different. Like, I grew up more listening to Lil' Kim, and then Nicki came after that, and I feel like I don't know how I can compare Lil' Kim songs to Nicki Minaj songs. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like Nicki probably got a lot more songs too than Lil' Kim.
No.
You think?
Mm-mm. They probably have the same amount, because you got to think about all the albums that only we cared about. You talked about Nicki being an influence. I think Kim is the everybody got some DNA, some of Kim's DNA.
Right, you're, we're talking about right now. Yeah. That's why when you said Nicki, and then we were talking about Meg Thee Stallion and Cardi, I do feel like Nicki was an influence.
All right, we have more with Nyla and Mouse when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up for the full interview. Check out the Breakfast Club YouTube channel. More than best of the Breakfast Club coming up. Yeah. The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Nyla and Mouse. Yee.
What'd you think about the XXL freshman list?
They got it right this year.
Yeah,
I mean, from a standpoint of who's hot, they were like 8 out of 10 this year. Mm-hmm. They were 8 out of 10 this year.
Yep, they got my girl Koi on there. They had Blast on there.
Why?
They had
Koi shouldn't be on that list.
Koi should definitely be on that list.
She said she's not rappers, but XXL freshman list is for rappers, and she said she's
stand
not
up for your artist, Nyla.
She can't. She can't. She can't do it.
She started off as a
rapper.
But
she said, I'm not a rapper.
Yo, she said that because she tired of everybody talking shit.
No, that's not why she said it.
Every rapper says they're not a rapper.
No, 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 no. Who?
All of them.
Who? The greatest said I'm a rapper. Not only am I a rapper, I'm the best rapper alive.
Jay-Z said I'm not a. What did he say? I'm not a rapper. I'm a hustler.
Jay-Z also said he was retired.
He said I'm the best rapper
Jay-Z
alive.
Jay-Z also said he was gonna retire and didn't retire.
He's been saying he was gonna retire from album one.
My point exactly. So she said she's a rapper and she's still rapping.
Imagine
if he would have. But she said she's a, and she still rapping. So what does that mean?
Imagine if Jay-Z would have retired after the first album.
And she got nominated for Best New Female Rapper yesterday. Like,
she shouldn't have been. That is somebody else's spot.
So the only problem you have is that she says she's not a rapper, even if she is.
I hate when others do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I hate when people come
in again. Others do.
She's an other.
She's not an other.
But don't you love Post Malone?
She's not an other.
Yo, what's wrong with you? You try to start here?
What?
Yo, you try to start here?
I thought you liked Post Malone.
I can't curse on it, so I
you told me that.
I never said. Yo, what's wrong with this guy? I can't stand Post Malone at all.
He definitely said he's not a rapper.
Well, and so
you don't like Post Malone because you don't like his music, or you don't like him personally?
Oh, I don't know him personally. I just don't. I just have a problem. One, I have a inherent problem with like white rappers.
I knew that was the reason.
And then when you go and then say like you go benefit off of our culture and you benefit off of hip hop and then disrespecting and shit all over, poop all over it. That's my problem. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, all right, you said you're not a rapper, but your first song came out, White Iverson, that's a rap song. But mm-hmm. you say you're not a rapper, cool. I'm the type of person, in anything, if you say, yo, I'm not a radio person, I'm not gonna be like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, he just do radio, but he not a radio person, that cool. Mm-hmm. But don't ask for radio personality perks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you're not a radio personality. You're saying that. That's mm-hmm. what you're telling the world. So same thing with Koi.
I don't think that the labels and the titles are that deep. Really,
I mean,
not.
Sure, when it benefits you, that's your artist, so
no,
of course.
No, it's not even that it benefits me. It's that these days, anybody can go online and say they're doing this and say they're doing that. But she's a successful rapper. You can't say
no,
she's not.
A successful artist.
She's
that's
a successful
she
artist, and she rap, and she sing, and she dance. Like, she does multiple things, so it's fine.
Yeah, because Drake said he's a singing, but we don't label him R&B.
Yeah, be rapping.
Hey, when he drops R&B, we acknowledge it as R&B.
But we don't label him an R&B artist, and we still label him as a rapper.
That's a blur. Okay. I think people just want to be artists.
I mean, if you want to be an artist, say, if you want to be an artist, then I'm fine with you saying
that's
that.
That's what she said,
but so don't ask for rapper credit.
She's not asking for rapper credit. You
she's not going to turn down the cover, though. You're not going to turn
rapper.
It down.
I just think...
Because, like, for Coi Leray, she's had some very frustrating things happen to her personally online, and sometimes you say things as a reaction
to
people
to
going
people
at you. Because I know it's not easy for these new artists coming up, and she's trying to do things, and it's hard, right?
And people, you got people critiquing you saying...
I didn't say shit about it until she said... Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. I know you go through it, right? You look online one day, people are like, oh, I can't believe you on here. I can't believe you on here. Did that ever make you want to say, well, don't say nothing about it because I'm not.
But I'm not a new person at this. I feel like I was very fortunate. I started doing this before social
talk
media.
That,
was
talk
really
ye.
Big. Yeah. So I was able to feel like it don't matter to me what people say. I'm right. I'm already did what I did. I'm not just getting started.
But you're not
I feel
like let that. You're not like that.
But I've also been able to build up like a bigger tolerance than the average person, because I think when you're younger and coming up and this is like so prevalent for you, where you make one mistake. I made a lot of mistakes, but it wasn't broadcasted to the world where people were coming at me. So I'm able to deal with it much better, I feel like, just because I built that up. So it's kind of like I've already been successful, already in the Hall of Fame.
Hey!
But imagine if you just getting imagine if you just getting started now and you trying to make your way and everybody's coming at you. I don't know that I could handle that.
All I'm saying is if you are a rapper and that's what you're doing, and people start critiquing your rap, instead of getting better, the first thing you do is say, ah!
But sometimes people aren't critiquing your rap. They're just critiquing you for the sake of critiquing.
They're not going to stop critiquing you just because you say you're not
a
rapper.
No, they're not. But we're not also saying that it's easy to deal with. That's all I mean. It's not easy to deal with.
When you released that record and you said, oh, I want the world to hear this record, you got to know, for everybody that loves it, 10 people going to hate it. That's what you signed up for.
But you also can't even anticipate how hard it's going to be. Because until it happens to you, you'll be in a bad mood one day, and then that shit just come out of nowhere.
I mean, Jay said that back in the day. Jay said, just read a magazine article that fucked up my day. So imagine how artists feel now, because it's magazine articles, blog posts, social media.
But they should be ready for it. The reason I don't give no credence to that bullshit is because they should be ready for it, because before they got lit, they was the ones with their opinion.
I agree
with
you.
Remember, rappers only lose their opinion when they get famous. That's the weird shit.
I agree with you, but you're never really ready.
I mean, maybe it's not the perfect example because it's a little scaled down, but Brilliant Idiots, right? You go on Brilliant Idiots as a podcaster? You get on Brilliant Idiots. I always tell people there's the Brilliant Idiots and it's the real, right? That's your Letterman and that's your Leno. Those are your pinnacles when it comes to hip hop podcasting, cultural podcasting, boom, right?
Brilliant Idiots?
Yeah. Hip hop?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about
like,
that.
When you talk about cultural impact,
okay.
Yeah. I remember the first time we met and you was like, yo, pull up. I said, oh, it's over now. Yeah, the God's here now. Mm-hmm. Man. I said, I must have said something about somebody and like them. They torched me. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there, I'm expecting, like, yeah, I'm on now. Now they went crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not supposed to be a podcaster no more?
See, but you're
nobody saying you can't. I don't identify as a podcast
but
anymore.
But you're
you did tweet out, I'm not a podcaster.
I never said
I saw that.
Why are you lying?
But you're into this.
I'm not a podcaster anymore.
You like to debate, bro. You like
you
to
do,
debate.
You do.
People talking to you and saying they see you, that's not really going to bother you because you're just going to talk back. Some people just want to put
no,
out their art and
say,
carry
there's
on.
There's no even debating those type of people. Like the trolls, there's no debating them. Like,
you debate just, who you want to debate. Yeah, not everybody wants to debate, though. Some people just want to put out their art and go.
Right.
These people don't owe us anything but music, and I think we forget that in this era. Yeah.
But
that's
I
it.
Mean, if they can
but
have
we
a great...
also owe them the critique or the love for
yeah.
it. Like it's a
that's
it's
fine.
A give
yeah,
and take.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you said. Remember you told me you said there's the Lord 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's gonna be
three people that like it.
People like it. Three people that
three
hate
people
it.
That don't.
Four people that's on the fence.
Yeah.
I'm only worried about the four people on the fence, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Because we can't. The three people that love it, they already love it.
Mm-hmm.
They loved it before we dropped it. If we're being honest, we all have fans like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you drop something right now, there's going to be a set amount of people that's just going to support it because they support you.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with you, Unc. Same thing with you, Nyla. Mm-hmm. There's going to be three people who don't know you. Their entry point to you is something that they didn't like, and they're always going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only worried about the four because the four is the people we can win over.
Yeah.
Because they're pure.
And you should be allowed to grow, too. Like, I appreciate what Saweetie said about wanting to work on her craft and taking these... you know, lessons mm-hmm. and everything just to make sure she gets better and better because sometimes you put things out and then you do get a response and then you pay attention to that response and we should always be trying to figure out, like, how you're going to grow,
exactly.
how you're going to improve what your art is.
And you can't focus on that by just listening to the people that love you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, Nyla, I want to clear this up. When you say Coil Ray is your artist, that's because you're her DJ.
Yeah.
Got you. It's Mouse Jones. Give me your Twitter and Instagram.
Mouse Jones, everything the same. MOUSE_Jones. Yo, Instagram, take my underscore out, yo. Stop disrespecting me.
Nyla.
And make sure you guys follow me at Nyla Simone, NYLASYMONEEE. And if I can just have Nyla Simone, since we're making comments to Instagram, that would be great also. But
it's Mouse Jones, Nyla Simone. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Hey, it's Angela Yee. Don't let weak hair hold you back. Carol's Daughter's Goddess Strength Collection supports hair as it gets longer for hair that's 15 times stronger after one use. Available at carolsdaughter.com and your local retailer.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Yes. Oscar Wilde once said, people who count their chickens before they are hatched act very wisely because chickens run about so absurdly that it's impossible to count them accurately. You understand that, you'll understand life.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.